going to be reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. And before we begin, the title of the message is Live Again. Live again, live again, live again. Father, we come before you in great thanksgiving. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Thank you for your glory, Father. And Father, we expect great things. We expect the Spirit of the living God to continue to move, and we expect the living God to do miracles today. We expect Him, oh God, we're expecting you, Lord, like a woman that's pregnant, just joyful, ready to give birth, Lord. We're expecting that we're going to live again. So, Father, I'm asking that you minister and give an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying today, oh Lord. And I thank you in advance because I know that you hear me. I know that you hear us, oh Lord, and in that confidence, Lord, and in that power, Lord, we say thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we all say amen and amen and amen. So we're going to read the word. I'll read the word. You can remain six. It says here, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, the prophet answers, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter in you and you shall live. I'll put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you should know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, the prophet said. As I was commanded and as I prophesied, there was a noise, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. I like this, another translation, come from the four corners of the earth. And breathe and breathe on the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then I'm going to go real down to the last. It says, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, that you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in performance, says the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit about Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the prophet that wrote the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in Babylon along with the whole nation of Israel because Israel had sinned grossly before her God. Israel had literally turned her back against God. And everything the pagans did, she did. And I want to let you know that sin has to be dealt with. There's consequences to sin. Sometimes we fool around with sin thinking we can get away with it, and that's not true. And so him, along with all the nation of Israel, and though he may not have been guilty of the sin because it was a nation, they all ended up in Babylon for over 70 years. But in his captivity, he still sought the Lord. In his captivity, he was still someone that loved God. In his captivity, he was still a Jew. In his captivity, he was still a prophet. In his captivity, he still sought God and prayed with the Lord and had intimate relationship with God. Because I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where we are and the circumstances we face or the political climate that we may be facing. When we love God, we love God. Whether we're free or bound, we love God. Whether we're up or down, we love God. Whether circumstances are abundant or circumstances are very small, we still love God. And so the prophet walked intimately with God. And that's a sign of a prophet. especially in the Old Testament, he walked intimately with God. His walk was one that no matter what happened, he still loved God. And in this place of total devastation, this place of being stripped from his homeland, in his place, and now he's a second-class citizen, he still sought God, and the Lord spoke to him. So you see, no matter where we find ourselves, if we're looking for God, we'll find him. If we're looking for him with all our hearts and all our minds and all with us, we're going to find God. So in the captivity in chapter 36, the Lord actually tells the prophet about how he's going to restore the land of Israel, how he's going to restore that which had been ruined and devastated, how he's going to make it green and lush again, how he's going to come and heal the land. But there's a problem. There's no people in the land. So he takes the prophet, the word the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. I love that statement. We don't use it as much anymore. But I remember as a little girl, I remember as a woman, as a young woman, people telling me, Ruth, I can see the hand of the Lord upon you. I can see the hand of the Lord upon Pastor Minor. I can see the hand of the Lord upon Pastor Acevedo, George. I can see the hand of the Lord upon Pastor Medina, because it means that when the hand of the Lord, when the Ruma, when the Holy Spirit came, he came with a purpose to do a mission. So he's selecting, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. And usually when the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet, it was to do a very difficult task. It was to commission him to do a very thing that was not easy. It was to do something supernatural. We've lost the supernatural in our midst when we serve a supernatural God. And so he calls the prophet, and he begins to engage in this conversation. And so here, the prophet, the hand of the Lord is upon him. And where does he place him? In a dead cemetery, of all places. The bones were scattered. Years and years, these bones were disjointed. These bones were all over the place. And God has a sense of humor, because he just doesn't place them in the valley. He placed them in the middle of the valley. And he just doesn't place them in the middle of the valley. He causes the prophet to walk among the bones. You see, I was thinking about this. It's like when we go around this neighborhood, what do we see? Pagan temples, botanicas. People that are lost, and he causes us to walk among the living dead. What do we see? The suicidal, the depressed. What do we see? The one that may look all well, because I work with people that have it all and yet have nothing at all. What do we see? The prophet, the Holy Spirit, cause him to walk among the bones, walk among the bones. You know why? Because God wanted him to see what God saw. God wanted him to see, feel, and touch what he saw. Because unless we see with our own eyes, we won't have that cry. Unless we see with our own eye, our hearts won't break. Unless we see and feel and touch, we can care less what happens to our neighbor. And forgive me for being so blunt. Unless we walk among the bones, we won't care. And God caused him to walk among the bones. What a great commission, right? What a great commission, right, Pastor? People say, oh, you're going into ministry, and they think BMW. People say, oh, I'm going into ministry. Oh, I think in great conferences. Nothing bad with that. People go in great, oh, I'm going to be rich and sassy. I'm going to have it all. And that's not what ministry is about. Ministry is to walk around among the dead, because he can restore them to life. So he asked him a question. The Lord asked the prophet a question. Very simple. Can these bones live? I like his response. Lord God, you know. And you know, when I thought it was a sign of doubt, but when I began to research, it wasn't. Because you see, I thought about how the prophet was led to this valley of dry bones. Like Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. And then he was commissioned. He led the Hebrew children out of slavery, where? Into the wilderness, that they will find themselves and become a nation and know how to fight. He led the people into the valley. Because in the wilderness, in the places that are scattered, God is there. God drove them there. The Holy Spirit drives us there. And sometimes we want to resist the Spirit and say, I'm not going there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do that. It's the very thing God's commissioned you to do, that those dry bones will live. I thought God is amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing because see, in the desert, they receive instruction. In the valley, they receive purpose. In the valley, they were full of the Spirit of the living God. So there's three things that we obtain in the valley of dry bones. Because there's no one here in the sound of my voice, and probably in Ustream, that you haven't been in a very dry place. There's no one here, there's no exemption here, that all of us have gone to dry seasons. The Bible says very dry. They're just not dry, they're very dry. There's an emphasis on that. And the season is long because these bones were there for centuries, scattered by the wild animals, scattered by the elements, scattered and destroyed. And yet, God was interested in these bones. So there's three things we find in the valley and three things we find for ourselves. Number one is vision. Number two is prayer and prophecy, because I'm going to tell you something. When you are an intercessor, when we pray, when we look to God, our prayers become very prophetic. And the third is power. Let me say it again. In the valley, if you're seeking God, because God has brought you to the valley, you're going to find vision, you're going to find prayer and prophecy, and you're going to find power. Actually, God's going to give it to us, right? So let's start with vision. Like I said before, the Lord was intentional. He was deliberate to take them to the valley because he wouldn't go elsewhere. So he was intentional. This wasn't his idea. This wasn't on his radar. And God showed him what he wanted God to see. He showed him. I'm reminded in the New Testament, remember when Jesus Christ came and healed the blind man with mud, of all things, spit in mud, right? That sounds gross. He told the man, what do you see? What did he see? Men like what? That's an indicator that man had sight before. Because how could he identify that they looked like trees unless he lost his sight? So God came again, Jesus came again until he was able to see clearly. And sometimes we see men like trees and we're not seeing men like God sees them. So he says in Habakkuk, I love this, write down the vision and make it what? Make it plain on tablets that you may run with it. And who reads it? Habakkuk 2:12. Okay, he said record it. Let it be registered in your spirit. Let it be registered on your mind. Let it be registered on your soul, what you're seeing. Don't dismiss it. We tend to remember more what we write if we don't write it down. We'll forget it more. Learn by writing. So he's recording, says, register what you're seeing. Record it so it can do something to your soul, because what he sees is supposed to be energized by the Lord so he can do something. It's something to go around the neighborhood and say, oh my God, look at all these people. They're lost. It's something to go to Rikers. Oh my God. Oh my God. And it's something to get empowered by God and to do something about it. And to have the cry of the Father. It says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And another version says, my people perish for a lack of vision. Because vision gives you knowledge, and knowledge gives you vision. And he had to see what God saw, because this was his people that were dead. This just wasn't any people. This was his people that were dead. This was his people that were slain. And when the church is not careful, this can also describe the church. So he goes, my people perish. And he goes, I want to make you an eyewitness. Because you see, when you're an eyewitness, that makes you credible. You go to court And you can't say, I saw, no, I heard, and I heard this. You're totally disregarded, totally dismissed. In fact, you know, you're making yourself a fool. One thing is to have credibility because you saw. I was there. I heard, I felt, I know. And the prophet, he was there among the dead, among the suicidal, among the adulteress, among the prostitute, among the idol worshiper, among the pagans, among the new calm and fill the rest. I was there, and it broke my heart because it broke God's heart. And he couldn't walk away. Imagine how long did it take for him to walk among those bones. It could be days. See, we read the scripture and we think, well, I read it for 5 minutes. It happened. No, it probably happened days walking, days touching. And I'm telling you, he probably cried for days, because for weeks, because these were his people. These were God people. And God made him stay there until he got it. And sometimes we're in the valley and we're there until we get it. We want to rush God. I'm going to tell you right now, God is not in a rush. Put away your cell phone. Put away your timer. Put away your calendar. Because until we get it, you're not going to move. For days, I want you to think, this was for days, walking among the dead. If I dare say, it probably was for years. Because people don't get it the first time, right, Pastor? And they don't get it the second, and they don't get it the fourth, but you don't give up. You keep after them, and then in the 10th year, voila, the light bulb goes on. And then, so he says, prophesy over these dead bones. And I said to myself, what's the big deal about bones? What's the big deal about these dead bones? Because first of all, he's telling dead bones, Pastor Minor, that don't have ears to hear. Bones don't have ears. And yet he's telling the prophet, talk to the bones, because they're going to hear the Creator. I thought that was amazing. So the people that you think that don't have an ear, keep praying, keep talking, because they're like that bones. The bones had no identity. They were scattered. They were disjointed. They were stripped of their persona. They were stripped of their names. They had no way to place who these bones were. But the Lord knew every one of those bones and knew which body they belonged to, and knew that they were going to listen to the voice of the prophet. You might find yourself today a little bit scattered. You might find yourself that you don't belong here, and you don't belong there. You don't know where you belong. But the Spirit of God is here to prophesy over you. Amen. So bones can come together, and bones can become one mighty army and one part of a body. And bones, and I think about it, because you see, it's different. In the Old Testament, I've used three examples. Dead people. Oh, Jairus' daughter, she had an identity. She was Jairus' daughter. The Shunammite's son had an identity. He died, he was raised to life. Right? Lazarus had a name. These people are either father or daughter of someone, but Lazarus, at least we have a name. And we called them out. We called them out by name. These bones didn't even have that. But when he told the prophet, prophesy over the bones, guess what happened? They began to rattle. There was movement. I think that must have been a sight to behold. A sight to behold. It's like you're praying for that loved one that's so far. And you're praying for that loved one that used to serve God and is so far from God. Or you're praying for someone that is totally out there, and all of a sudden it's rattling, there's noise, there's movement. Because the Creator, he said, come And I want to breathe life. And I read this, and it says, it's the pneuma in Greek, the ruach in Hebrew, is the word, it's the word, it's the source of life, it's the Holy Spirit, it's wind and it's breath. It's wind and it's breath. All of a sudden, your family is disjointed. Your marriage is disjointed. Your children are out of control. Everything is disjointed and scattered. And we're going to prophesy today. Oh, Lord, bring every bone back where it belongs. Yes. To the right body, not just a body. To the right body. And it's interesting because in the Old Testament, it's a prophecy, Psalm 22, about Jesus Christ. And it says, none of his bones will be broken. Because in the crucifixion, in order to hurry up the death, they will break the bones of those that were crucified. But by the time they got to Jesus, Jesus was already dead. And they didn't break any of his bones. Because bones. Look at us, bones. That probably need a little bit of living. And I'm going to take you to my third point. The Bible says, and I love this example that's going to take you right into my third point. Elijah, the prophet of old, had died. He must have died a long time ago when they wrote this, right? You're nodding your head. 2 Kings. And there was a war, there was a raid on Israel. And someone had died, a dead man. I like this. The Bible is full of people that have no names, but God knows them. And you can insert your own name, because sometimes in the crowd, we feel nameless. Sometimes in the crowd, we feel faceless. Sometimes in the crowd, we feel that we have no purpose, because they stopped seeing you a long time ago. But the Lord keeps seeing you. So there's a raid on Israel, and they're burying this dead man. Well, they didn't have time to bury the man. They just threw him in Elijah's grave. And when the dead man's body touched Elijah's bones, he came alive. He revived and stood up. I said, my God, Elijah, his bones were already dead. What about us that are still living? And we sit next to the dead every single day. And we forget that the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Amen. And in me. Amen. And in all of us. That's real power. Because you see the rattling, the noise. There was a noise. There was movement. There was activity. There was busyness. There was events. We cannot confuse all that if it doesn't have the life of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. You can be busy. Or we can be busy. We can be all over the place, scattered. Scatterbrained. We can be so immersed in ministry and busyness and distracted by other things. Yet, we're not living. We're not full of the Spirit of the living God. Because the Spirit of God is what gives us power. Power over the darkness. The Church of Jesus Christ has forgotten that she is a woman of power. The Church of Jesus Christ is endowed with power. The Church of Jesus Christ is to be for those that are dying to come to life again. And we can be so busy that we forget that there's no power. And we can be doing things in the flesh. And we can be doing things on our own in the machinery of just mankind. And we forget that real, true power comes from above. We forget. We forget. It's dunamis power. It's the power that 120 people that were very scared and had no idea what to expect were in the upper room waiting for. What did they hear? A rushing wind. And until they were empowered by God, people will continue in their sin. Until you're empowered by God, your witness is very poor. Until you're empowered by God, you are not going to do what God called the church to do. We're not. Until you're empowered by God, the demoniac will come in and go out, and people will remain the same. Until we're empowered by God. The Bible says that he told the bones, and they were all together now. There's a lot of movement, but no life. Ministry can be that way. A lot of movement, but no spiritual life. We have to be alive in Christ. And so he says now, the third part is, come and speak to the breath of life. And come from the four corners of the earth. Come, because until these people that look that they're alive and they're not, are filled with my spirit, my breath, they're still dead. And today, God wants to say to every ministry, in 2018 it was good, but we're a church of power. Church to call the demonic what it is, demonic. Church that when we witness. Church empowered by God, not by only skills. Skills is very important, and to know things are very important, but I'm telling you, if we have no power, we are empty. It's like a gas. It's like a car that has no gas. It can be a BMW. It can be a Kia. That's what I own, a Kia. It can be a Honda. Oh, I'm driving my Kia. You can afford it. It can be whatever it can be. But if the car has no gas, it has no gas. People have no gas. They look alive, but they're not really alive. We want children to be filled of the Holy Spirit. I saw something that was so incredible. Young kids being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Want young people to be filled of the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing that's going to keep you from the evil one. There were three, there were four, there were five. We need that in the church. Numa. Wind of God, that's what we need. And God wasn't satisfied until he brought back his people. He wasn't satisfied until those that were slain, massacred, nameless, destroyed by the elements, destroyed by men, destroyed by the enemy. He wasn't satisfied until he brought them all back home. And see, God is after us today. God knows your DNA. God knows how valuable you are to him. Imagine this. Imagine this. Saul, King Saul, and his son Jonathan were killed in battle. Not only were they killed in battle, but they were beheaded. And they hung their bodies. And the people of God went to retrieve their bones and bury them. That's how much God cares about your devastation. He'll give you what's proper, what's appropriate. But today, we need to know, what is the heart cry of God? This is a future, well, it's not so future anymore, because Israel became a nation in 1948. She came back as a people. Well, how about the church? Where in the spectrum of this word are we? Where in the spectrum of your life are you? Is the hand of God upon you? Meaning, are you full of the power of the Spirit? Or is it just movement? Just movement. Loud movement. You know, the louder the movement, the less power. I've learned that in Christianity. I learned that a lot. People that have power usually are not so loud, because they understand that the power comes from God. Amen. Louder. Where are you? Are you in the valley of dry bones and you're resisting God for the commission that he wants you to do. The ministry he wants you to do. Let me tell you, Rikers Prison, that was never on my radar. Never, ever, ever. In fact, I have friends here from Christ Tabernacle. I love them. But there was a brother who went to be with the Lord. His name was JR. JR was a gangbuster. JR, but when JR came to meet Jesus, JR met Jesus. And JR was the first prison ministry leader over from the church we used to go to. And we bought a house 5 blocks away from the church that we used to go to. The joke was on us. Brought a house so we didn't have to park, and here we are, driving to park. And I was going home, and JR stops me. And JR tells me, "Sister Ruth, I need to talk to you." And I says, what's up, JR? And he goes, "I had a vision and I had a dream that you were going to help me with Rikers. You're going to help me with the prisoners. You're going to be teaching and preaching." And I'm going to tell you what I said internally. I never told this to JR. And I says, "No, that's for people like you." Not me. I never missed a day of Sunday school because I felt so inadequate. That's what I felt. And JR insisted, no, you are going to be with me. But JR dies. JR got very sick. JR died. JR is in heaven. About 5 years later, there was a chaplain ministry that was birthed. And so they all commissioned us to be chaplains. So I said, okay, I work at a hospital. I'll go to and visit people. I like doing that. And the prison leader at that time said, "Oh no, sister, you're helping me in Rikers. God told me you're helping me in Rikers." And the chapel had been closed for like 10 years at that point, and you're the one that's going to open up the chapel, a woman. I almost died because the only person I kept hearing and seeing was JR. JR. JR saw it, but he didn't see it. Got it? He saw it, but he didn't see it. God wants you to see it. God wants to see what he sees and feels what he feels. Because if we don't, we're just going around in circles like the Israel for 40 years. They went around and around and around in circles doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And they still couldn't see it. So where are you? Maybe you're in the valley, because I had a hard time with that one. I says, "Lord, this can't be." My husband goes, "Honey, this can't be." Goes, "Yes, it is." So I said, "Oh, God." Maybe you're in the valley and God is showing you devastation and you think it's not the Lord, because he's calling you to a greater ministry. He's calling you. And all are you in the place of prayer? Let me tell you, the prayer is so important in the church, because prayers become prophecies and prophecies become prayer. And obviously, the prophet had to pray a lot because he was listening to God. But if we're too busy, and we never open the Word of God during the week, and we never spend time during the week, we can never hear God. How is your prayer life? Because when you come full of God, let me tell you, God is telling you, "Look, you got to talk to that sister. God will wake you up in the middle of the night 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, whatever it is. You got to pray for the sister." God would say, look, you got to cover your pastor in prayer. And says, "Pastor, you okay?" He goes, okay. Because you see, but how's your prayer life? How can you prophesy if you don't pray? And how can you pray if you don't, you need to pray? I heard this magnificent woman. She went to be with the Lord. And I said, "I want to be like her when I grow up." She died about 8 years ago. I wish I would have met her. She said this. She was 83 years old when she gave this sermon. She says, "Lord, I want to be like her." She was Pentecostal. Because we're Pentecostal. What happened to that? What happened to the signs and the wonders? We're Pentecostal. You remember that. Nosotros somos Pentecostales. Y creemos en el poder del Espíritu Santo. Creemos en milagros. Creemos que podemos. We believe because we're Pentecostals. Don't you ever forget that we're Pentecostals. And she said this in her words. She goes that praise and worship and even prayer, as magnificent as that is but a bucket. Because you have nothing, or what she said, you ain't have nothing if there's no water. Because it's only a bucket. It's only a means. But if you don't have water and you're not filled with God's Spirit, we have no power. So of course we're not going to prophesy. Of course we'll run away from the demonic. Do you believe that demons roam the earth? I hope you do. Because sometimes we want to label a lot of things. And we forget that we have the power to command that thing to shut up. Amen. On your job. You think that all those people whacked out are really whacked out? They have another entity in them. You have power. There was a woman that came to the job, another job I used to work for, and she was reading palms. She went around reading palms, and I sat in my desk, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that filthy spirit to shut up. Shut her up, Lord. Bind up that witchcraft. Bind up that horoscope. Bind up that palm reading. Make a stutter. And I mean, I've been very specific. I get very militant. Because I've learned that we don't have to be afraid of the darkness. All of a sudden, this woman begins to stutter. And she couldn't do it anymore. And her hand and her eyes were like a radar. She was scanning the office. And she stopped at me. Like, you are the reason. You are at fault at this. And I looked at her and I straightened up like, this was a battle between God and Satan, and God won. I never said a word to her. Everything I said to the Lord. Because we are Pentecostal, folks. We are Pentecostals. Pentecostals pray. Pentecostals pray in the morning, and they pray at midnight, and they pray in the evening. Pentecostals pray when it's not good, and Pentecostals pray when it is good. Pentecostals pray when they believe, and Pentecostals pray, and we're honest, when we don't believe. We're Pentecostal. It's the power from on high. It's the power from on high, guys. We can come and sing, but do we have power? We're Pentecostal, and I hope that we enter 2019 recognizing who we are in Christ. There's prophets in this house that God want to raise up. There's teachers in this house that God want to raise up. There's ministers and preachers that God want to raise up. Stop playing church. We are Pentecostal. Don't forget that. My grandmother was 95 years old. All she did was eat Bible. But we saw things that were incredible. We saw things that were incredible because she knew who she was in Christ. So now it comes to the power. Not just mere human ingenuity. It's not flesh, because the flesh only produces death. That's it. It's temporary. After a while, it's gone. And people will forget. They may forget my name, but if I walk in the Spirit, they won't forget Him. And after all, He's the one I want them to remember. So where are you in the spectrum? If God were to ask you, can these bones live? And the reason the prophet answered the way it was is because what happened to Elijah. They threw that dead body in Elijah's grave. And it revived. So he had history. He knew that if God did it for one, God can do it for this whole multitude. Where are we? Can we live? Are you really living in Christ? Is the power of the Holy Spirit actually flowing in your service, in your prayers? You can come up. You know, where are we? Where are we in the spectrum? God is still moving. God is still looking for prophets. God is still looking for a church. God is still looking for 120 people that we probably only know a handful of names. But there's a lot of other people added to the upper room that we don't know who they are. God is still looking for faithful. Maybe you feel scattered. Things have come and broken you down and you don't know where you belong, what to do. I prophesy over you today, God is going to join you to a body. I believe that God's going to do what he started, he's going to complete. Where are you if the Lord would say, can they live again, Elizabeth? They can. They will. Prophesy over those dead things. Prophesy. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because for centuries, these bones were in a wilderness. And God is asking, can we live again? For those of us that may not know Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to the altar. He came to save. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe your life is not right. This is an opportunity for you to come and accept him as Savior. Because you see, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Absolutely to anyone. And you can have been in church all your life. It doesn't mean you know Jesus. It just means you've been in church. For the rest of us, in the spectrum of this story, which is not real, is a real story. It's not even a parable. It's a real story. Where are we? Where are you? Where am I? I pray for a blow of the Spirit like never before. I don't want 2018 to be repeated in 2019. I want the gift of the Spirit to be activated. Because they're in here. Everyone in this room that's saved has a gift. Everyone. If you're saved. I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want power from on high that's unduly noticeable. That I know that they know that they know it comes from heaven. I want you to be full of life. Because God has greater life for you. He wants you to do miracles. We that go, those that go on the mission field, he wants you to lay hands on the deaf, on the mute. He wants you to lay hands on those things that seem to be dead. For us, that a pastor prayed it in his office. He said, make us a beacon. And I said to myself, that's right, Lord. Elohim is already a beacon, but let it shine brighter. Brighter. That when we walk all these pagan temples, remember, pray, Lord, save someone from there. Take them out. 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 Because you came to rescue what is dead. I want the young adults to be full of God and power. Power from heaven. You're the next generation to energize those of us that soon will be leaving this earth. But it doesn't come just by meetings. And they're good. Fellowship is good. It comes with power. Equipment. Because who God calls Eden, he's faithful to equip. He's faithful to equip. I want to know that I know that I know. That if I lay hands on someone, that person can be restored. We are Pentecostals, folks. The feast of the pouring down of the Holy Ghost was a Pentecostal harvest. For we're Pentecostal, straight from the Word of God. We're not even making it up. And then a denomination man-made from men. It's the only one straight from the Word. We are Pentecostal. And we need to walk in that power. So you need to settle score. Husband and wives, you need to settle score. Because if you're angry, it's not going to happen. If you're angry with someone else in the church, you need to settle score. We need to bow down low until God comes. We need to search and search like that prophet. It probably took him weeks and days to walk until the loom of power. And we're here today for a fresh baptism of the Numa, a fresh baptism of the Ruah. It's called in Hebrew, Ruah Elohim. When I read that, I burst out in tears. It's called in Hebrew, Ruah Elohim. It's called in Hebrew, Ruah Elohim. And we have Ruah because we're Elohim. Can you get that?
Amen.
So let's stand. For those that may want prayer, I want Ruah Elohim to sweep this house. After all, you didn't come to hear a woman. Because this woman has nothing to give.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.